Welcome to Rhema Bible Church on Sunday night. What's wrong with you people? You love Jesus or something? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, on the Sunday, the 28th of September, I started a series on the restorative power and nature of God. The restorative power and nature of God. And we talked about that a little bit. Let me just review just a little bit. Key points: God is not just a creator, He's a restorer. Amen. And He specializes in taking what our enemy, the devil, meant for evil and turning it out for good. In Scripture, biblical in Scriptures, restoration means bringing back to an original condition, bringing back to an original position or purpose. But then the Bible, when talking about God, actually takes it a step further and adds this, that it's not just restoring you to an original, but actually bringing increase and improvement. Glory to God. Amen. In Psalm 23:3 says, He restores my soul. He's the restorer. We know that throughout the Bible, especially, you know, we see times when God would help people. Sometimes it's none of our doing. It's the work of the enemy. Sometimes it's just we made wrong decisions. But you know what? If we'll come back to God, we'll rejoice and we'll repent, rejoice and worship God. God can restore any situation. Glory to God. Bring it back, as we said, returning us to our rightful state, our rightful position, and often with the idea of increase, and not just healing, but wholeness. Not just, you know, not just sewing you up and leaving a scar, but as if it never happened before, as if you never went through it. God renews us and renews our purpose. It's more than just, you know, just the English definition of put something back as it was. Yes, it's that, but it's also this idea. We cannot leave this idea of God's restorative power. When it shows up in our lives, it changes us. It changes us. You know, I always have loved, when I first heard it back when, I believe, you know, I think Brother Doug Jones has been teaching righteousness here at Rhema Bible Training College longer than anybody that I know of, but he taught me when I was a student. And he quoted what E.W. Kenyon said about righteousness: the ability to stand in the presence of a holy God without the sense of guilt, without the sense of inferiority, as if sin had never existed in your life. That's not putting me back to a position. That's as if I never was out of position. That's what God does. He's restoring us. He's improving us. He's blessing us. Glory to God. So we started by saying God restores what was lost. Joel chapter 2 verse 25 says that he will restore the years that were wasted. Jesus, the Bible says in Luke 19:10, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And we talked about the prodigal, you know, the prodigal son who left, received his inheritance, but went out and the King James Bible, you know, kind of cracks me up, says went out and wasted his living on riotous living, not righteous living, riotous living. What does that mean? He's throwing money everywhere, doing everything, you know, and he eventually, now you got to understand this story that Jesus is telling here. He says a certain man, so I think he's talking about an actual story that took place. This isn't a parable. This is an actual event that happened. A certain man had two sons. Remember, he gave both of them their inheritance, and the younger one went out and just wasted it. And think about that, because now if I'm describing you tonight, don't raise your hand, but you know, you know how it is when you got money in your pocket, everybody wants to be your friend. You know, on one side, I remember back uh, in a one of the Bible seminars we had back in those years, Brother Hagin was ministering, and he brought an old Pentecostal friend of his up, and Brother Norval Hayes was there at the meeting. And you know, Norval was a businessman who God got a hold of him, and he got filled with the Spirit, and he was even a better businessman after he got filled with the Spirit of God. And then God had him go out and would preach, and kind of got started in the full gospel businessman. But this Pentecostal preacher said, he said, Kenneth and I like to hang around with Norval a lot because Norval had a lot of money. And then just laughed and laughed. Of course, Brother Hagin laughed and laughed and laughed. Well, all of a sudden, this guy's money's gone, and then nobody want to hang around with him. And remember now, he's a young, every indication is this is a young Jewish boy, and he's only job he can find is feeding the pigs. An unclean animal, according to Jewish law. But that's how far he had fallen. And notice, nobody's there to help him. And he's there one day, he's feeding those pigs, and he said, you know what? He said, this is dumb. You know, I don't care how dirty you get, how down in the mud and muck of life you get into, you're never too far from the restorative power of God. He comes to himself, goes home, and his father restores him. I know he cleaned him up eventually, but he put the ring on his hand and a robe on him and shoes on him before he ever got him cleaned up. I know he hugged him before he cleaned him up, restored him to his position. And there's something about that, you know, think about this. That younger son never stopped being his father's son, even though he wasn't living right. Now, there's something to think about there. Are we, sometimes, you know, we get too quick to just kick people out, and God will take them back and restore them. Glory to God. Restoration is more than external, though. God restores our soul. The psalmist said that he restores my soul. He establishes, he strengthens us. How many of you know life can beat you up? Absolutely. You can, you know, and especially in the area of our soul, our mind, our will, our emotion, especially the emotional side of us, can get beat up if you don't know how to protect yourself, if you don't know those things. But God will restore us. Glory to God. And remember, not just heal us of the wound, but take us and restore us to a place as if it never had happened in the first place. Hallelujah. God is a God of restoration. Glory to God. He's just not content. You know, in the old covenant, the blood of bulls and goats couldn't cause you to quit being a sinner. It just covered it over. God's not a cover it over God. He is a totally restorative and redemptive God. The Bible says we're new creatures in Christ. That old man doesn't even exist any longer. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus, the Bible says, you know, it just doesn't cover our sins. It washes us white of sin. In other words, you're so clean, it's as if you never ever had a stain. Woo, glory to God. I mean, shout can't even do that. Amen. God restores us. But God just doesn't restore, you know. After David, you know, David had some failures, and he prayed that God would give him a clean heart and renew a right spirit within him. And in the New Testament, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. The psalmist asked to be restored in the joy of his salvation. You can be a Christian and not have joy. You can be a Christian and not be enjoying your Christianity. I kind of joke sometimes that if you're not having fun being a Christian, you're doing it wrong. But I realize sometimes you're not having fun because the devil's after you, and life happens to everybody. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I mean, the more tribulation comes, the more we ought to cheer. Cheer what? Cheer on Jesus. Glory to God. Just keep thanking Him. Just keep thanking Him. Keep worshiping Him. Hallelujah. God doesn't just forgive, he restores. And he puts us in a place better than we were before. So we talked about those two things, about God restores what was lost, God restores the soul. Tonight I want to begin in Jeremiah chapter 30, if you would. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 30. Our third main point is that God restores our health. God restores our health. I'm here to tell you tonight, I was just kind of down there worshiping God, and God started talking to me, and tonight said, tonight there's going to be people that are going to receive restoration from injuries and different things that have happened in their life, and I'm going to place them back as if it had never ever happened before in their life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The restorative power of God. And I'm going to tell you this right now, you don't need to do anything but just believe. You don't need me to lay my hands on you. You don't need me to prophesy over you. I just did. God said he's going to restore people tonight. Not just physically, I mean in any area. As if that thing never happened in your life before. Because God is a God of restoration. Amen. You know, as we said, life can break you down. Different things can happen. But God is our remedy. Glory to God. Here in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17 says, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of your wounds, says the Lord. Because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeks after." Not only restoring our body to health, but I don't care. Somebody might have cast you out. Somebody might have abandoned you. I'm telling you tonight, God will restore you. God will restore you tonight. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12. There was a man who came to one of Jesus' services that had a withered hand. And, you know, he's there in the synagogue. We're going to read the whole story, but I'll tell you down to what, we're going to read verse 13. But they ask him whether or not it was lawful. I mean, they were so religious. They were so religious. Indication, I think every indication is they knew this man. He probably showed up to church every time they had church. But he's there today, and they're asking Jesus, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? To do work on the Sabbath day? Of course, Jesus talks to them, you know. Can I just tell you this? Religion doesn't care anything about you. Religion is all about the system of keeping you down so that you got to keep coming back. Religion keeps score. Remember when they brought that woman caught in the act of adultery? John chapter 8, caught in the very act of adultery. They brought the woman. Don't miss it that they didn't bring the man. They caught the woman. And they said, they quoted the law, and it said they did this to tempt Jesus so they could catch him, disobeying the law. He didn't disagree with them. The punishment was death. But he said, all right. And now remember, the Jews, especially around Jerusalem, those Jews were professional rock throwers. I mean, they would pelt you with rocks before you know what was happening. There's still nations around the world that you better watch. I mean, I was sitting in a car one time by myself. My host was actually in his bank, and all of a sudden there was a loud crash. There was a car crash that happened, and right in front of me, there was a big bang first. He had a tire that exploded on him, and then he crashed into something, and the driver jumped out of the car and ran for his life. And so I asked later, I said, why did that happen? Well, sometimes they said if they think the driver did something wrong, if they catch him, they'll beat him, stone him, and burn him alive. As I'm never driving in this country, I'm going to tell you that right now. But, I mean, these folks were, and he said, all right, you who've never sinned, you cast the first stone. But they brought that woman not to help her. They brought it to catch Jesus in something. Amen. Well, they did that with this man here. And Jesus talks to them about if you have a sheep and it falls into a pit, you get it out. You don't care what day of the week it is. What about this man? Isn't he better than a sheep? Look at verse 13. Then said he to the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Now I want you to notice that. It was restored whole. Do you remember when those lepers came to Jesus? 10 lepers came to Jesus. They all got healed. Jesus said, they came to Jesus. He said, go to show the priest, give them the proper, you know, that you're supposed to do according to the law. On the way, they realized they're healed. The one came back. And Jesus said, he didn't say, you're healed. He said, you're whole. You know, because leprosy, if it runs its course, it'll eat away your body. And you can be healed of it, no longer have leprosy, but still be missing some things from your body. But this man, he was missing nothing. After he came back and he said, you're made whole. This man was restored whole. Stretch forth your hand. Now think about that. He couldn't stretch forth his hand. It's withered. Sometimes we're doing what we couldn't do away from having our full restoration and wholeness. Amen. I found this out in ministering to people. You know, we do it even going out and doing street ministry different places around the world. We don't go out and ask them. We really don't even ask them if they're a Christian. We ask them, does anybody need prayer? Anybody in pain? Anything going on? And then when we pray for them, we lay hands on them in the name of Jesus, like Jesus told us to do. In my name, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We lay hands on them. We believe. And then we tell them, do what you couldn't do before. Amen. Stretch out your hand, Jesus told the man. Remember, Peter said to the man, took his hand and said, rise up and walk. He can't rise and walk. He's been there daily at the gate. He can't. If he would, he wouldn't have been there. But faith will cause you to do what you couldn't do before. Amen. I know right here in town, was doing a meeting years ago. Pastor Hagin had allowed me to go. We had a graduate that was doing an anniversary in a church here that was reaching some expats that were here in town, and they asked me to come. Pastor Hagin was gracious, let me go minister there for a couple nights, and we're ministering, and had a woman come who shoulder couldn't lift their shoulder, and we ministered the life of God to her and said, do what you couldn't do before. And she said, well, I couldn't. She said this. She said, well, I couldn't do this. I said, that right there, what you're doing right now, you couldn't do? Yeah, I couldn't do this. She still hadn't gotten it yet. Still hadn't realized she's doing what she couldn't do before. And then she goes, she kind of looked at her arm like, we're just standing there smiling at her. Hallelujah. That's what restoration is about. Healing and wholeness. Jesus' healing ministry was not just, it was restorative in nature. Look at John chapter 5 with me. John chapter 5. God is still in the healing and restoring business today. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to God. Amen. Here in John chapter 5, Jesus has come to the pool of Bethesda. And verse 5 says, a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Think about that. Think about 38 years of dealing with the same thing in your life. 38 years. Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He said unto him, will you be made whole? Paralyzed man answered and said, sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me in the pool, into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. I was in Kenya several years ago. I was there by myself, and I'd been teaching 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the afternoon. Then they wanted to have outdoor crusade after that. And so one day I said, look, I preached enough. Isn't there one of these young ministers that we've helped over the years? Isn't there one of them that could preach? So they got a young man up there, and he took this text. And he started talking about this man was laid there. He said, I have no man. He said, he's laying there. He's been abandoned. He's been abandoned by his family. He's been abandoned by his church. He's been abandoned by everything he knows. He says, I have no man. But Jesus came that day and said, I'll be your man. I'll be the man that you need today. I'm here. Whatever you need, I'm bringing it today. I mean, I wanted to get saved that day. I wanted to. Glory to God. Amen. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. Notice this, 38 years of infirmity, 38 years of paralysis, 38 years of the pain and the shame that went with it was reversed by one statement from Jesus in a moment's time. Hallelujah. God's the same today. Healing belongs to us today. Restoration belongs to us today. I don't know what's happened. I don't know what's happened in your life. I don't know what trauma your body's gone through. I don't know what trauma your mind's gone through. I don't know what trauma your emotions have gone through. But I got good news for you today. There's restoration for you tonight. Hallelujah. In an instant, in the name of Jesus, that can be done away with. Because the blood's already been shed, the stripes are already on Jesus' back, the name's already been given, the power's already been released. Hallelujah. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you tonight, child of God. And that same power that raised him from the dead will restore you. It doesn't matter what it is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I know some folks, you know, they've had relationships gone bad. And I realize in restoring relationships, you know, there's more people involved than just you. There's another person. And you can't control what they do. But I can tell you this, God can restore you. God can restore you. Just like the psalmist said, God can restore to you the joy of your salvation. The joy you're supposed to have in life. It doesn't matter. Don't let that past hurt be your present reality. Let the restorative power of God change it in a moment. Hallelujah. In one moment, in one statement, Jesus said to the man, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man, was made whole. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you are believing for an immediately tonight? You're believing for one of the suddenlies of God. You know, it's sudden to us, but it's not to God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is the God who restores us. He brings health to us in every area of our life. How many of you know this? We're not supposed to be tormented. We're not supposed to be bound by anxiety. We're not supposed to be depressed and oppressed in our minds and in our emotions. We're not supposed to be held by those past feelings. We're not supposed to be held. Jesus, the chastisement of your peace was upon him, and by his stripes you are healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll just keep preaching until it starts breaking out. I don't care. I'll just keep preaching until it starts breaking out. Amen. Don't wait for me. Don't wait for an altar call. You just get what you need right now. Just grab hold of it right now. Hallelujah. It belongs to you. Belongs to you. Don't let the devil tell you any longer, you got to wait or there's a time. No, it's mine right now. It's mine right now. It's mine right now. Glory to God. Belongs to you. Belongs to you. Why? Because you're so great? No, but because of the greatness of our Savior. Hallelujah. That name that's above every name. That name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How thrilled sometimes to read. You read after some of these ones, and I know I met the person who was raised from the dead in a setting where the person was, they were getting ready to have a crusade in that town, and this was the host family, and their daughter died. Suddenly, the daughter died. And they had brought the daughter from the morgue. The daughter was there, and they had her set up on the kitchen table, laid out for people to come by. And the team showed up that was going to have the crusade, and they were told, our daughter has died. We need to cancel the crusade. And the leader said, we're not canceled. He said, but let me go. Let me pray for a moment. And he began to pray, and God told him what to do. And they went in there, and of course, you know, just like Jesus, sometimes you got to put out those that don't believe. Not because you're not being nice to them, but this person's resurrection is more important than their emotions at the time and their feelings. And they just stood around him. This person had never read after Smith Wigglesworth, who talked about doing this at times, but they stood around that young girl. She was a teenage girl. They stood around, and I met her. Glory to God. After this, I met her. Glory to God. And they stood around, and they just began to say the name of Jesus. And they just began to say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And as they just continued to say the name of Jesus, all of a sudden, the girl took a breath who'd been dead. Not just moments dead, I'm talking about had been to the morgue dead. Don't embalm there, but been to the morgue dead. She took a breath, opened up her eyes, and sat up on the kitchen table. They had a crusade. They had a crusade. At that crusade, because then later on we were there and we preached in a church that was donated, and the land and the church was built by a family whose son was known as the madman of the market. He used to terrorize the town. He ran around naked. He was unclean. He was unwashed. His hair was uncut. The day I met him, he was standing there in a nice suit and tie, standing, a real tall young man standing there. But he got totally delivered and set free in that crusade that the devil tried to stop by killing a young girl. But the name of Jesus, 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 the name that's above every name, even over death, over every sickness, over every disease, was greater. That name cannot be stopped. The name of Jesus cannot be stopped. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus that restores all things. All things restored by that name. Hallelujah. Everybody stand up on your feet. Father, we just say, let's just say it. Jesus, Jesus, the name of Jesus. We magnify the name of Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank you that right now, that power, that resurrection power is moving amongst your people. It's moving here. It's moving wherever people are right now. If they're watching us right now, wherever they're watching this, that power is moving right there. The power is moving right here, restoring us, restoring, restoring. Hallelujah. 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 That hip injury, restored right now in Jesus' name. Restored, not just healed, but restored. Hallelujah. That hip injury, glory to God. That back injury, healed in Jesus' name. Restored in Jesus' name, made whole. Made whole. Made whole. Hallelujah. 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 That abused one, that one that was taken advantage of, that one that was sinned against, you're restored right now in Jesus' name. Be healed. Receive your healing. Receive the wholeness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You are our restorer. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, we bless you. We magnify you. Jesus, Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. I thank God for all the redemptive names of God, all the names that God revealed himself to us throughout the Old Testament. But if you say Jesus, you've said every one of those names. If you need healing, Jesus is Jehovah Rapha. If you need someone to shepherd you, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want, he is your Jehovah Roi. If you need righteousness, he is Jehovah Tsidkenu. Hallelujah. If you need peace, he is Jehovah Shalom. Just cry out Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. Jesus! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now it's great to come to church and shout. It's great to come to church and praise the name of Jesus, but you need to do it all the time. All the time. Y'all got something? Sing it, Johanna.
King Jesus, no other name. King Jesus, none stronger. We can call you. Things change, yes, when we call your name. Oh, King Jesus, King Jesus, no other name. King Jesus, none stronger. We can call you. Things change, yes, when we call your name.
Praise the Lord. We call on his name, that name of Jesus. Glory be to God. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, you may not, you're like, what in the world are you all shouting about? You want to find out? Come on down here. Men, come to the men. Ladies, come to the ladies. If you need prayer for anything, they're here to pray with you tonight. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Let's shout it one more time. Jesus! Amen. God bless you. We'll see you back on Wednesday night. Amen.